Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You're listening to Moaning by Art Blakey for a reason. The reason is I'm not going to talk about Obamacare. I'm not going to talk about Obama. I refuse. I'm going to filibuster against these topics. I can't listen to it one more second. I have my opinions on it. I mean, they're very clear, which is those who oppose Obamacare are helping Obama. And if you didn't oppose Obamacare, we'd be far ahead in the polls, those of us who believe in borders, language, and culture. But anyone who opposes Obamacare and wants to delay implementation is helping Obama. Because if it came in, you'd all see, everyone would see what it's doing. Don't call me on it. I'm not going to talk. I just said I wouldn't do it. It's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. And I think that Ted Cruz has created a new industry for me. You know how I say we've gone from this to that in one generation? You know, one of my favorite things. I think we've gone from the Tea Party to the Me Party under Ted Cruz. It became all about him. So I'd rather talk about what I did on the last few days of vacation, where I went and what I did. I just played Moanin' by Art Blakey. He's a friend of mine. As a matter of fact, the only attorney in America that I trust, who is my lawyer, Dan Horowitz, for some reason sent me the Blue Note Collector's Edition of 25 CDs of the great jazz music that I grew up on. I remember the days I first heard it in New York in the Little Queen's phonograph, how my father freaked out. He came home and he heard me playing Nat Cannonball Adderley. He went crazy. He said, "What are you doing? What kind of music is this? What is this garbage? What are you playing this junky music for in my house?" Little did he know how great it was and how it got me out of the doldrums of the two-dimensional world in which I lived. And frankly, we're living in a two-dimensional world right now. I have never seen anything like this. We know the Republican brand has been destroyed not only by their own recalcitrant and idiotic behavior, but by the constant attacks by others who have no alternative. And all they're doing is helping Obama. Then on the other side, we have the knee-jerk conservatives. I mean, we all heard the words knee-jerk liberal. My whole life, knee-jerk liberal, knee-jerk liberal. Well, we know what that is. Every answer for a knee-jerk liberal is that the oppressed don't have opportunities. If only there were opportunities, they wouldn't rape, rob, kill, become pirates. And then the other side, we got the knee-jerk conservatives. Every one of them has the same answer. And the answers are just so mundane, you can go out of your mind listening to them. And I say music eases pain for me. Listening to music can help alleviate mental pain, physical pain. And I found listening to, for example, Art Blakey, took me back to the West Village circa 1966, where I had the first tastes of love, dreams of megalomania, novels that would be written, travels that would be traveled, brains to be unraveled, cars to be raced, snows on face to be tasted, forever thin, forever cool I would be. Yeah, right. Nevertheless, here I be, and I'm not complaining because I'm still here. I want to play another piece of music before I go into the horrors of the news of the day. Let's play Horace Silver's song for my father. It's very touching, and I'm going to ask you, listen, wait, stop for a minute, Neil, stop for a minute, 1 minute. I'm going to ask you a simple question. How did we go from jazz like this, Art Blakey, Horace Silver, I can name all the greats, Nat Cannonball Adderley, John Coltrane, I mean, I can name them all. How do we go from that music to rap in one generation? What happened to this country? Was it going from H to crack that did it? Is that what did it? Was it the drugs that defined the music? Because you understand that the jazz music was built around a certain drug culture, and that drug culture was a mellow drug. I'm certainly not promoting it. But the fact of the matter is it produced this kind of beauty, this kind of integrity of thinking and of playing. And look what crack has done to this country. Is it the crack music or is it something else? Because I've told you before, I could start with a jazz tune, as I've done tonight, and from that thread I can weave an entire tapestry about society in the news, which is what I'm going to do tonight. I just got to develop it a bit. So right now, a little Horace Silver song for my father on the Savage Nation. Okay, now all of you have heard this. Most people over the age of 15 have heard this song, but don't know what it is. You know, that downbeat. If you listen to it, you say, oh, I know that. What is it? It's like a favorite tune from even classical music or an opera. Many people will know, let's say, an aria for an opera, and they'll hear it and say, oh, that, yeah, what is that? They don't know it. It's like Pagliacci. You would all know it if you heard it. Say, oh, yeah, that's Pagliacci. Well, this is Horace Silver's song for my father. And what did that bring back in me? Well, it brought back my childhood on Utopia Parkway, Duck and Dad, Hidden Weed, Hiding Speedsters. Oh, was I a wild steed. Crushing blows, Bo. Taken like you know who. Knowing tomorrow would surely come. And come it came like a thundering harridan down on her luck. Bitter, nasty, joyless days of endless struggle where the struggle is all he knows. For the abyss strikes fear which doth make fighters of us all. For my father he wrote. For my father he spoke. For my father we all toked. And that's what I wrote when I listened to it after all these years. And I wonder if you have music in your life that has altered or alters the way you look at the world. I mean, I'm not going to do jazz all night. There's so much more to do and so much less to do. Did you hear about the story about the Canada's top 10 list of America's stupidity? Someone sent me this. This is Canada now laughing at America. Did you see the picture of the hats, the girly hats that Obama wants the Marines to wear? I couldn't resist. I had to put it up on my website. The MichaelSavage.com website has the picture of the hats. U.S. Marines decry Obama's new girly hats. The psychotics in your government who are broke have not only deballed the military by firing 9 major combat generals. Yeah, he's purging the military the way Stalin did. I've told you that. And let me tell you something else before I get into the girly caps for Marines that the feminists are pushing down there at their throats in order to debase the Marines, in order to deball the Marines, in order to humiliate the Marines, in order to turn the Marines into something French, something alien to America. Let me tell you what's going on. All of you geniuses who are so focused on Obamacare and how bad it is, you are doing Obama's bidding in so many different ways. You're playing checkers, my friend. He's playing triple chess. They understand that it's a disaster. But what you don't know is they may have wanted it to be a disaster. Why? Well, they wanted it to be a disaster for a couple of reasons. Then have every moron in the country screaming about Obamacare while they're working on destroying the military, for example. While they're working on firing combat generals who may not, let us say, see the world their way. While they're cutting the military in every way they possibly can, cutting our nuclear armaments in every possible way that they can, you're focused on Obamacare. Yes, I understand. You're a brilliant man. You're just brilliant people. You're playing checkers, my friend. You're even playing backgammon while they're playing triple electronic chess. Never underestimate Barack Obama. Never underestimate the people behind Barack Obama. Do so at your own risk. That's all I can say to you. So if you look at the picture of the hats that the girls in the Obama administration want the boys in the Marines to wear, you'll get sick. U.S. Marines decry Obama's new girly hats. Unbelievable. Underneath that, I have another story I posted. There's one on top I can't even tell you about. It got me sick. Teen charged with killing math teacher saw a movie after her murder. Oh, you didn't see that picture? Didn't make it to your paper? Came out today that beautiful math teacher who was found with her throat slashed by a box cutter, was killed by a teenager, age 14, in the woods behind his high school in Danvers, Massachusetts. And the kid who did it looks very much like the young man who was involved in the Zimmerman case. Isn't that interesting? And yet we hear nothing from all of the race baiters and race haters. Not one word. Not one word. You see, this wasn't about race. This was about lust. And, of course, since they can't capitalize on lust right now, they can simply ignore it right now. Where is George Zimmerman when you need him? Where is George Zimmerman when we need him? What a sad story. A 24-year-old girl, an honors student, becomes a math teacher to help minorities. She asks this kid to stay after school to help him with a test. He wants something from her she wasn't willing to give him. Takes her behind the school and cuts her throat with a box cutter. Oh, the pictures didn't make it to your local paper. That's so sad. That is so sad. Only in America. Only in America. Let's have another piece of music. How about Moanin' by Art Blakey again? I know we have others. We can do Coltrane. We can do the Maiden Voyage by Herbie. See, you all know this one, don't you? It is the Savage Nation, the most skeptical show on radio. I am back from a mini vacation. And horrible world. It's getting worse by the second. Madness. He cuts her throat with a box cutter? Have you ever heard of anything like this? Girls are throwing fetuses into garbage cans in the middle of a disco? Kids are cutting teachers' throats? Well, you can't blame Obama for that. Please don't. That's not what it's about. Today I'm talking about something else, which is music in a certain way, because I think the threat of music will take us wherever we want to go. And today it's about jazz. Also saw a movie I want to recommend. The movie was called Captain Phillips, which I highly recommend. Even though I don't like Tom Hanks' politics, the man is one of the best actors we have in this country, and you have to salute him for that. He plays Captain Phillips of an American cargo vessel that was bringing food to the starving masses in Africa, and he was hijacked by Somali pirates who could care less about the food for the starving people in Africa. All he wanted was some ransom from the stupid American. This was before ships had any kind of armaments on them. I mean, a couple of shotguns would have kept the Somalis off. If every crew member was given a shotgun, there'd be no Somali, you know, hijacking. And yet we read today, strangely enough, another hijacking. Another one now. Another ship hijacked. Where were the shotguns? Pirates seized two Americans off ship near Nigerian coast. This is not Captain Phillips. How is that possible? How is this possible that our ships are being hijacked? What are we spending all our money for on the U.S. Navy? What are they busy with? Diversity training and birthing clinics aboard ships? Why aren't they accompanying our ships in these horrendous areas, these third world backwater hellholes? I reminded you how the Marines were created. I told you the U.S. Marines were originally put upon U.S. cargo ships or, you know, merchant ships in the early 1800s because they were being hijacked by Somali pirates and other fabulous people from the Muslim lands of Africa who thought that the ships being unprotected would be good booty for them. Well, the U.S. government in those days said, well, we got to do something to protect our cargo. So they took the toughest guys they could find in the bars, and they gave them leather necks. They were called, why are Marines called leather necks? Because they were given strong, thick pieces of leather around their necks to protect their necks from the slashes of the swords of the pirates. And they gave them muskets, and they gave them swords, and they said, go protect the merchant ships. And you don't have to call our president if your ship is attacked. You don't have to call one of the girly men in the White House. You don't have to call one of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse for any approval. Just kill them, cut their throats, and throw them overboard. And guess what happened? Piracy came to a dead end. Let's go back to some music, and I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation. What a world. What a world, from the leathernecks to the featherheads in one generation. So we have another ship attacked by pirates, now Nigerian pirates in Africa. And we have the White House and the State Department saying that they're closely monitoring the situation. So the girls came back from the bowling alley and from the hairdressing parlor, and they went to their computer screens, and they found out that there was another hijacking. Now, of course, they didn't issue any orders to the U.S. Navy or such to go out and kill the pirates, to come down, rappelling down and cut their throats and throw them into the shark-infested waters. They're closely monitoring the situation. The Americans were seized off the U.S.-flagged Sea Retriever, 220-foot vessel owned by U.S. Marine Transport Group Edison TrueQuest Offshore, an oil supply vessel. And, now here's the FBI chiming in. I want you to listen to the new FBI. I'm quoting now. I'm not making this up. Oh, a former FBI agent says, if you take the Americans, you get a good price. Oh! Now, I wonder whether he's consulting for the pirates or for the ship. I don't really know. He says the initial demands will be high, and you can infer from that who you're dealing with. And he said, we can negotiate with this. It could be a negotiable end, said the former FBI agent, now working with a consultant firm which specializes in international piracy. It sounds like firemen who start fires in order to justify their job. Okay, so this is the world we're living in. I saw the movie Captain Phillips. I rarely go to the movies. Obviously, I'm on the radio at night, number one. Number two, I watch TV at night in bed. All I need is the clicker and a loaded gun. I mean, what do I need to go to a movie theater for? A loaded shotgun and a loaded S&W and a dog and the bars and the clicker. What more do I need? That's it. But I went to them. I found out moving to movie theater is actually very interesting. You go later at night, and there's no one there, number one, in the middle of the week. The screen is better. You can move around in seats. So when our SEALs in the movie Captain Phillips came and shot the Somali pirates four at once, and their heads blew open, I started to scream in the theater, kill them all. Now, the liberals in Marin County looked up. They thought there was a madman in the theater.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560. KSFO.
It is the Savage Nation. So I'm back. I know many of you missed me. That's okay. I missed you. I don't know whether you missed me or I missed you more than you missed me. But at this point, it's one big thing, you know, it's hard to say. And here we are. 49% of Americans get government benefits. I want you to listen to this. It's hard to say this without using the O word. So we'll leave out the word O. 49% of Americans get government benefits. 82 million people in households on Medicaid. $1 billion a day is being spent to prevent global warming, even though the Earth's temperature has remained virtually flat for the past 17 years. $1 billion spent a day to prevent global warming as Antarctic sea ice hits a record high. It's just unbelievable. And we've gone from the Tea Party to the Meat Party in one month, let alone in one generation. I blame Ted Cruz for that. I know many of you are fanatic. You know, I don't know. I'm not behind him. Nope. I see a Michelle Bachmann with pants. 855-400-7282. That's why I'm playing music. Let's have a little, we have a little time here to develop another idea. And I'll take some calls. I want to hear the next one, guys. We just played Herbie Hancock, Maiden Voyage, right? Who's this? This is Too Maudlin. Well, Coltrane's in another sphere. Well, just for a minute. That is very depressingly beautiful. It's not uplifting. It's not fast. It's not drive time. My time, night time, your time, his time. It's Coltrane time. No, I can't do it right now. That's already 3 a.m. music. That's overnight radio. I'm not yet there. This keeps up. You know, this is a funny thing. Like in radio, what you do is you start out day parts, swarthy, hair on your knuckles, full of life. Then they move you to a nighttime slot. And if you're lucky, they keep you on the air, but you're on at 3 o'clock in the morning. I have reversed that. I'm the only one in the history of radio who's gone from a later slot to a much later slot, and then like the phoenix rising from the ashes, I come back in drive time, shocking everyone in the industry. They all thought they had me pigeonholed, cornered. Yeah, yeah, he's okay, but he's nobody. He's not a player. Yeah, he'll be on it. And all of a sudden, I trump all of them. Now, how did that happen? Well, I don't know. You'll have to figure it out. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Where's my KSMO caller? He left. The guy dropped it already. Did he drop the one who couldn't take any more of Obamacare? Okay, the one I wanted, I was waiting for, building up. Marge in Philadelphia, WWIQ. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I know you need a day off sometimes, and I don't mind, but 3 days in a row was very painful for me. I really missed you very much.
Let me tell you something about it. I intend to take more time off rather than less, and I'll explain it to you. I burn at a very hot rate. I'm like a 200-watt, you know, incandescent bulb. And in the media, what you have is 50, 40 watters in television. You hit maybe a 55, a 59-er once in a while here and there. I'm a 220-watt bulb. I got to watch out or the tungsten will go. So when I first started the radio, Margie, I got to tell you this right off the bat. I had other professions, and I came into radio by accident and late. And when I signed with the local station, I told them I've got to have a week off every 6 weeks or I can't do it. And I needed that week off to do other things. But I found out I came back stronger and better prepared and focused rather than I would otherwise. And I needed that week to get away from all the news. I found these 3 days, I wouldn't say they were delightful. They were difficult because there are other things in life that are just as challenging, if not more so, but they're different. So I need more time off, Margie. It's that simple. I thank you for the call. I'm not a machine. I'm not a record. I'm not an automated talker. Music. How did we go from jazz music to rap in one generation? Does anyone have an answer to that? Is it the drugs? Is it the drugs? That's what I want to know. And the movie Captain Phillips. Did you see it? What'd you think of it? I liked it. I recommend it. Go there, and when you see the Somali pirates' heads blow up, you got to understand that you know the outcome because it was when the Somalis were on the lifeboat that they hijacked off the ship with Captain Phillips. The SEALs were sitting there on an adjacent destroyer, and they had their night vision scopes. And when you see the SEALs arrive, you know, you're stirred. I mean, you start to get stirred inside. I remember being a kid in the movie theater again. I said, "Here come the cavalry! They're going to kill those evil pieces of garbage." Now, the only thing wrong with the movie is that they try to create sympathy for the Somalis. Yeah, they're poor, and if they don't go and hijack a ship, the warlord will hurt them. Well, that's too bad. That's too bad. We have drones that can see the trucks with the machine guns arriving in the village. Who do you think are in the trucks with the machine guns terrorizing the village? The terrorists. Take them out with drones, that's all, and leave the villagers alone. So we have a ship going over to Africa to bring food aid, and these animals hijacked the ship because at that time they weren't allowed to have weapons on the ship. It's an interesting movie. So when you see the SEALs come in and arrive, you start to get stirred. I mean, felt like a kid in the movie theater again. And then they're lining them up in their sights with night vision. They're trying to line them up, and it has to be all four at once with a single shot to kill all four of them through four different, let us say, openings on that little lifeboat. And finally, when they get four greens, and he says, "Go!" And the guns go off, and all four heads explode, I started to cheer. And I said, I screamed out, "Kill them all! Kill them all!" I screamed out in the theater. Oh, well, the polite people in the suburb where I live didn't know what to make of it. They just sat there like the dummies and the drug addicts that they are. You know, they were ambivalent because there was a nuance about this movie. It was done, after all, by a British director who always is nuanced. They're very nuanced. We're supposed to have some sympathy for the poor Somali pirates. I had no sympathy for them. I had no sympathy whatsoever. I'm sick of it all. I want us to use our weapons. I want us to use them while we still can. You see, in this inverse war against terror, they have the desire to destroy us, and we have the weapons to destroy them, but we don't have the will to use our weapons to destroy them. Take a guess how this ends. Take a guess how this story ends. If you read history, you'll understand something that I'm about to tell you. What I'm about to tell you is historically accurate. How did the Arabs, who conquered two-thirds of the globe spreading Islam, do it? They didn't have large armies. It was an astounding piece of history. They did it with small armies that induced terror wherever they went. They raped, they burned, they killed. They burned villages to the ground. And in so doing, they subdued larger areas of concentrations of humans. And that story of the Arab conquest is one of the most amazing stories in the history of mankind, built on blood. Islam didn't spread through love. Islam was not spread through peace. Islam was not spread through the word. Islam was spread through the fire, the flame, and the sword, and through sheer terror. What we're living through now is a repeat of history. We're living through a repeat of history where small armies, called small groups of terrorists, are spreading their doctrine of hate through terror. Pirates are no different. They're part of that particular scenario. And they will win. If we continue to have girly men in power, if we continue to deball our military, if we continue to put them in girly hats, if we continue to fire all the generals who are combat generals, I am telling you that the amazing story of conquest of the great days of the Arabs, that started in around 634, where almost two-thirds of the world was conquered by the Muslims in 25 years. 25 years, not through a great standing army, but through small armies, where they battled people in Syria, Damascus, Palmyra, Antioch, Jerusalem, all falling to the Muslims, all being converted over to Islam. And then, of course, they turned to Asia, and they conquered them. Conquest of Persia followed. I mean, that time, Persia was not Muslim, not at all. But after the terror induced by the Muslims, the Persians became Muslims. And then they went into western Turkestan, and then they went eastward until they met the Chinese. Egypt was not Muslim. Egypt fell with almost no resistance to the new Muslim conquerors, who were full of fanatical belief in the sufficiency of a single book, the Quran. And then they wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library. The Muslims burnt the library to the ground. And then the Muslims poured along the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and Spain. Spain was invaded in 710. The Pyrenees Mountains were reached in 720. In 732, the Arab-Muslim advance had reached the center of France, but then something happened. It was stopped for good at the Battle of Poitiers, and the Muslims were pushed back as far as the Pyrenees again. And I can pause right there, but the story is related to this movie, Captain Phillips. It's not in that story, but I know history. And I see these pirates as the small armies that conquered two-thirds of the world in only 25 years. And, you know, for all of George Bush's failings, and there are many in all presidencies, he's not to be singled out. For all of his failings, he had it right. He understood the existential threat to Western civilization, and he did something about it. I can't say the same for this administration. I can say the opposite may be true. So here we are talking about movies and music and all sorts of things on the Savage Nation. Let's take some calls. WABC Joe on the movie Captain Phillips. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. I saw the movie myself, and when I found that the SEALs, when they came on, they just didn't take that shot. They practiced with milk jugs to time themselves with the waves before they took the shot. They didn't show that in the movie.
Well, your movie can only do so much, you know, but they did kill all four of the three of the terrorists at once, didn't they? They shot their heads, they blew their heads off.
Right. They practiced on the jugs first to get the timing.
And by the way, that was SEAL Team 6, the same SEAL team that was later sacrificed by someone in this administration by being put on a cargo helicopter called a Chinook and sent into a hostile environment in Afghanistan, and they were shot down and killed. 22 of them killed at once. And no one in this government has been called on the carpet for that. Are you aware of that?
Yes. I listen to your show regularly. You know.
Well, that has agonized me for several years now. I dedicated the book, my novel, A Time for War, to that particular story. I try to wake people up. Apparently it didn't happen. Now we're hearing rumblings here and there about it. But there's been no hearing. We're focused on Obamacare instead of focusing on those who were taking down our military right from within this darn government. Now they're giving them girly hats. Thanks for the call. They're giving them girly hats. And what's going on elsewhere? Donna on WABC, you're a Savagette. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Mike, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd like to tell you my opinion why jazz went directly to hip-hop.
Tell me.
And rap.
How?
I think it's because of disco.
Tell me how that works. I don't follow it.
Well, you know the band Blondie?
Yeah, I remember it, yes, years ago.
It's called Rapture. And in that song, she raps.
So you think that that changed the artists to rap artists from jazz artists?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why. I can't agree with you. Let me explain something. Rap music is very simple music. It's very easy to do. It's not hard to do, which is why so many untalented, uneducated, unskilled, undisciplined kids can do it. Jazz music, on the other hand, is extremely difficult to do. It requires tremendous knowledge of music, of notes, many years of study, and it's very difficult to perform. You can't just make it up as you go along. And so it's also got to do with a lack of discipline in our schools and a lack of discipline in the kids themselves. Thank you for the call. I've been waiting to say that. I figured we'd bring it there. 855-400-7282. We got great callers on the music, but you know, there's some news stories out there that we shouldn't ignore. Obama's in very deep trouble because of the spying. He spied on 35 leaders around the world, and they're going, where you would think, really angry. The nations are turning to the United Nations now to stop Obama from his spying on national leaders. How does he get away with it? Well, guess what? He's not getting away with it. The Guardian's headline, U.S. spied on 35 world leaders. Snowden says no telephone in America makes a call without leaving a record with the NSA. Do you understand what we're living in? Do you know what the Stasi was in Eastern Europe before the fall of the wall? The Stasi was a secret police. We now have it under Obama, a secret police that's raging out of control. And he's getting away with it because the knee-jerk conservatives are not talking about this. They're talking instead about Obamacare. And the greatest thing you can do is to stop talking about Obamacare and let Obamacare live. Just let it be. Don't delay Obamacare. You're doing Obama a favor by helping him delay it. Why? Because we want Obamacare fully enforced before the midterm elections. Why? Because then the people who are going to pay these huge premiums, mainly the young, who were conned by Obama and the Democrats, will say, hey, wait a minute. We were misled. I'm not voting for those Democrats again. So if you delay Obamacare, you're actually giving the Democrats a hand up on the elections. Don't you understand that? I'm baffled by those of you who don't see this. And while you're doing that, he's getting away with the spying. 35 world leaders were spied on by the United States government. They're now turning to the United Nations for relief. Can you believe this? Do you understand how big this is, that we've become, in essence, a communist nation? Do you get it? Do you understand how big this is? Brazil and Germany today joined forces to press for the adoption of a UN general resolution that promotes the right of privacy on the Internet, marking the first major international effort to restrain the United States' National Security Agency from listening in on foreigners, according to diplomatic sources familiar with the push. This effort follows a German claim that the American spy agency may have tapped the private telephone of German Chancellor Angela Merkel and dozens of other world leaders. Well, this is what's going on. The world is finally waking up to the dictatorship that has emerged under the guise of hope and change. Don't be a dope. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So look, I've been, doing my thing, improvising, doing a little jazz talk here on the Savage Nation. But if you want to boil it down to the main political point I made today, it is give Obamacare a chance. I know it's shocking when you listen to the knee-jerk conservatives in the media who are saying, fight it, stop it, block it, don't sign up for it. This is two-dimensional thinking. I'm baffled by the simpletons who are saying this. Why would you want to delay implementation of the Obamacare Act when he wants to delay it because he knows that everyone opposes it? He knows it's a disaster. He knows that the young people will find out that they were hoodwinked by him and the other Democrats once their premiums go up. And he wants to push it. He wants to push it off till after the midterm elections. I believe that the way to overturn the socialized medicine is to implement Obamacare. Don't stand in its way. Because if you don't stand in its way, the Democrats are going to be heard very seriously by their Frankenstein. Obamacare is a Frankenstein of the U.S. government, meaning of Obama. It's a signature legislation. So let Frankenstein stumble around. Let's Frankenstein out of the laboratory. and then let the idiots who voted for Obama say, hey, wait a minute, I didn't know my premium was going to go up $5,000 a year. All of the silver hairs in Marin County, all the Prius silver hairs, all of a sudden they'll start screaming when a dime more has to come out of their pocket. And they can't go to Provence for 2 weeks in the summer and get drunk on wine and eat the bad cheese. They'll say, oh, my premiums went up. So my theory today is, my theory is, should we give Obamacare a chance? Of course we should. That's why I'm doing jazz, because most of you don't understand what I'm saying to you. And then the spying. It doesn't get any worse than America becoming the ex-Soviet Union, with 35 nations going to the United Nations now to stop Obama's NSA. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you think he's a lame duck? He's just gotten started.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
New Monday, how are you? New Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all deep.
Wait a minute, hold it now. It's not Monday. It may feel like a Monday to me, but, I mean, it's not Monday for you. It's Thursday, and open the last hour with some great jazz, Art Blakey, Monin, John Coltrane, Blue Train, Herbie Hancock, Maiden Voyage, Horace Silver, Song for My Father, etc., and talked about music, and I talked about the NSA spying, and 35 nations are now going to the UN to restrain American spies. They found out that the NSA's Signals Intelligence Directorate, the SID, was listening in on their cell phone conversations under Obama, because Obama offered hope and change. Little did they know that they were the dopes that were going to put up with that. But they did. They did. The sheeple got it. And it's only beginning now. The Stasi is fully in place. And if I know anything about powerful spy agencies, they don't go away on their own accord. They don't go away because a group of penguins at the United Nations say go away. Oh, no, they're going to double down on their spying. That's number one. Number two, I said give Obamacare a chance, that the greatest gift you can give Obama is standing in the way of Obamacare, but I guess that's too complicated for those of you who play backgammon. But if you're playing the electronic chess that Mr. Axelrod's been playing for long enough that he understands how to get around the yokels, you'd understand that opposing Obamacare is only helping Obama, and that what you want to do is see Frankenstein stumbling around. Because then come the midterm elections, which are only a few months away when you think about it, a year from now, all the young fools who voted for this cool guy named Obama will say, hey, wait a minute, I'm paying $500 a month for medical care I don't even want. I don't need it. I'm healthy. I'm paying for those old SOBs in big cars. Screw them. And they won't vote for the Democrats. But you don't see that. That's why I say give Obamacare a chance. And I've also said we've gone from knee-jerk liberals to knee-jerk conservatives in one generation, and how we've gone from the founding fathers to the foundling fathers in one generation, and how we've gone from the Tea Party to the Me Party in one generation, how we've gone from health care to... You get the picture. These are topics that are worth talking about. The phone number is 855-407-282. 855-407-282. Guys, before I take some calls, give me a breather, even though I just started. Let's play Horace Silver's Song for My Father, the full version, because I want to just hear it again. I grew up listening to this. It took me out of my two-dimensional green-carpeted world of security, or shall I say insecurity, on Utopia Parkway, and opened up my mind, opened up the irises of my thinking, and blew me out onto the road. And here I am. God, had I not heard jazz? Had I not heard jazz when I was 17 years old and listened to it and maybe it didn't reach everybody. I guess a lot of people heard it. It didn't touch him. But had it not touched me, I don't think I'd be the man I am today. I certainly wouldn't be on radio. I'd be a dead dentist. I have nothing against dentists. In fact, some of my favorite people are the dentists who have repaired my teeth. But the fact of the matter is, had I not heard jazz and listened to its music, I would not be the man I am, and I wouldn't be on radio. Probably would have gone to dental school somewhere and maybe Spain or Mexico, come back and maybe overdosed on laughing gas like a lot of the Queen's dentists did. A lot of guys went to dental school because they couldn't get into medical school, and the guys who went to dental school, a lot of them were like, they were into laughing gas. I don't know why, but that was their big thing. I don't know where they are today. Maybe in Boca somewhere having a pizza, the walker, the oxygen tank, who knows? As someone once said to me, it's a big world. You can't categorize 5 billion people so easily. But I try. I do my best. One categorization at a time. I mean, if you can't reduce things to the simplest terms, what's the point of trying is my motto. People say, well, don't overgeneralize. I'm trying not to overgeneralize, but I don't want to undergeneralize either. I mean, there's such a thing as drawing a conclusion, looking at things. I'm a trained biologist. I started by looking at plants and animals and trying to figure out who they were and what they were. You know, the phylum first, then the genus, then the species, then the subspecies. But you have to start somewhere. So if you look at politicians and politics, you start with the phylum. Under the Democrats, you say the phylum is socialist. And then you go down from there. The genus and the species, you can define further from that. But the phylum is socialism. Now, as far as the other side goes, I can't even put them in a phylum other than Surrender Monkey, and I don't know what the phylum is in Latin. But all I can say is stop opposing Obamacare. You're doing Obama a favor. Let the Frankenstein walk on the planet. Now let's move on to the calls. KSFO Carol, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Good evening, Dr. Savage.
Evening.
I'll restate what you were saying about Obamacare. There's a quote, I believe, from Lincoln which says, the best thing to do with a bad law is to enforce it strictly.
Yeah, well, don't get me started on Lincoln. He was a warmonger. He killed so many Americans, and he was an egomaniac. He was not the great man everyone thinks he was. Don't get me, I'm not one of those who worship at Lincoln's feet, by the way. But that's a good quote. But he was ruthless. You know, he burned cities to the ground. You know that.
No.
Did you know that Lincoln was a terrorist of his own time? Did you know that? Can you name the southern cities that Lincoln burnt to the ground?
Not me.
No, no one can, because the penny was made from Lincoln, and everyone thinks he was a saint. He was a ruthless, psychotic narcissist that has been deified by so many in the world, it's hard to believe. Don't get me started on Lincoln and Daniel Day Lewis. Oh, the sensitive Lincoln struggling so hard as he walked over the mountains of dead Southern boys. Yeah, wonderful guy, that Lincoln. Wonderful guy, that Lincoln. So don't get me started on Lincoln. I know another deity of the American mythology, the mythology of the Americas. Yeah, let's go to the caller, Suzanne, another Savagette from WMAL in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call. I want to thank you very much. I've been listening to you for years, but I want to thank you for helping me really just change my mind. I have been a supporter of Ted Cruz and the Tea Party and their actions, and they made their point. They knew from the beginning it wouldn't succeed, but now we should force him to go through with this law. We should never give him an extension now.
Right. Well, now what? Is Ted Cruz still on the bandwagon to block Obamacare?
I hope not. I hope he's like...
I don't follow him. I'm not a big fan of his. I think that he turned the Tea Party into the Meat Party.
I think that any party, they needed somebody, and he just stepped in. He saw an opportunity, and he took it.
I understand, but what good did he actually do? He's destroyed the Republican brand. For whatever the reasons are, I mean, you could bash them all you want, but they're certainly our only hope right now is to bring a nationalist plank into the Republican Party. I said that last Friday. Do you remember?
Yes, I do, and I have to.
I didn't say start a third party. That's the surest way to keep the socialist Democrats in power forever. I said put a nationalist plank into the Republican Party and run it in 50 states. That's the solution. Don't destroy the infrastructure. That's the mistake everyone's making. You cannot create an infrastructure very easy. It's very easy to tear something down and extremely difficult to build something up. But I say let the Frankenstein of Obamacare live, and then the young people who were hoodwinked by this cool young guy called Obama will wake up to how they were hoodwinked. Suzanne, thanks to God. All I want to do is go back to my jazz and make spaghetti when I get home tonight. I'm eating very simple meals now at night. Oh, I had a high blood pressure. I don't have high blood pressure. But unfortunately, last night I had a soup with a lot of salt in it. Do you ever have a headache, a high blood pressure headache from a salty meal? The back of your head, each time your heart beats, you feel like the back of your head's going to break. It's all from sodium. It's as simple as that. You don't have to go to Dr. Zhivago to get the answer to that one. Just stop the salt, for God's sakes. Whatever. I need some music right now to bail me out of this. U.S. spied on 35 world leaders. But it's too slow. It's late at night. I know that. All right, I want to go to New Orleans again. I want to buy antiques. I want to buy antiques in New Orleans. I went there for the Super Bowl last year. That was a great trip. And I don't like sports. I walked out at halftime. People say, "What? You're at the Super Bowl and you left at halftime?" Yeah, I left at halftime. I can only take so much of anything. I can only take so much of anything for any length of time. Now, I realize that that's an American tragedy to walk out on the Super Bowl, but I did. I walk out at halftime, nothing. I figured I'd grab a cab and get back to the hotel and take a rest from the screaming and the yelling. I felt like I was in the Roman arena and they were going to throw me to the lions. I had a flashback. I'm still getting over the PTSD from the Roman arena. It's been several thousand years, but I'm not cured. So I walk out of the Super Bowl. I figured there'd be cabs everywhere, and it's dead silent. No one is in the streets outside of the stadium. And I'm saying, "You idiot, you. You're going to get whacked. This is a violent city." I had no choice but to keep walking. So I took out my good luck charm, and I rubbed it, and I said, "Somebody up there who allegedly likes me, can you please guide me to a taxi, because this is not good?" A few minutes later, a pedicab comes out of nowhere and says, "Sir, do you need a ride?" I said, "Yes, I sure do, kid." And I leapt on. I said, "Get me to the Hilton as fast as you can." I gave him a $20 tip. So, look, what can I tell you? You know what I'm saying? But I liked New Orleans. I love the city, actually. And there's a certain downness to it that I like. It's, as I said to you last time when I came back, I don't even know why I'm talking about it. I guess it was Nat Cannonball Adderley. New Orleans is what San Francisco pretends to be but isn't. Let me put it to you that way. San Francisco once had a bohemian tradition that is long gone. It's been taken over by false hipsters from Cleveland who've come out here and scream, "I'm wild, I'm wild, I'm wild. Look at me, I'm out till 3 in the morning. I'm so cool." But no, that's not the real thing. The real thing is in New Orleans. At least that's what I think. And it's one man's opinion. If you don't like it, get your own radio show. My main themes are pretty clear. I don't want to go back and, you know, over them. But let's take some calls on various topics. WABC Susan. We're getting a lot of Savagettes calling. They're finally coming to understand they have a place to go that's safe. They don't want to go to a show that has an opening that goes, "I'll put a boot in your..." They don't want it. They don't feel comfortable calling a show where every day is the same opening. "We'll put a boot in your..." No, sir. They're tired of listening to wall bangers opening. "We'll put a boot in your..." Yeah, really. Real tough guy with the blue jeans and the pointy boot. "We'll put a boot in your..." Susan, welcome from WABC. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I just want to say, even though we don't like it when you take time off, you should take as much time off as you need to keep your light shining so bright.
Oh, thank God. No, I it wasn't that it went dim. I was needing to get away to L.A. I went to visit a very close relative. That's what I did.
Fantastic. But I have to say, even though I know you have a national program, New York City is, you know, still very important to the whole country as far as our economic and social...
Yes, nobody would deny that. It's the financial center of America.
So, well, what's happening just very recently, so everyone knows, and a lot of people have moved here from all over the country because we have been able to provide some form of jobs for the, you know, very distressing job situation. Right. And they don't remember what happened under the last Democratic mayor, Mayor Dinkins.
Oh, yes, it's coming back. This guy de Blasio is saying he wants to create 30,000 affordable housing.
I mean, back to New York, we've overturned a lot of the things that have kept New York one of the biggest...
Oh, yes, your Judge Shindlin, the good liberal Judge Shindlin, overturned stop and frisk. And now the animals are out of the cages again. Is that correct?
But he's going to have a partner in our new Democratic mayor who is looking like the heir apparent, unfortunately, and I'm just urging anyone who can vote to please look at what is happening. We had a Whole Foods, which is a huge store in Soho.
They had an armed robbery in there the other day, because that's part of diversity.
It was robbed by, I guess, armed gunmen came in there in such a busy...
Well, they didn't really, you see. Under the new mayor, I would expect that they should just give out the food and the drinks. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Well, we have for you a treat that no one's played yet on the radio, in the radio landscape. It's the one of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse who has ruined America. And her name is Catherine Sebelius, a former governor of Kansas who's now destroying health care in America, and she's the head of HHS. Listen to this arrogant bureaucrat as she says she will not resign. This just came out. Listen.
Majority of people calling for me to resign, I would say, are people who I don't work for and who do not want this program to work in the first place. I have had frequent conversations with the president, and I've committed to him that my role is to get the program up and running, and we will do just that.
The people who don't work for her? The people who I don't work for? You mean the taxpayers who want to resign? She doesn't work for them? Who does she work for? She works for the corporate special interests who have built the government, meaning you, of $1 billion to set up a computer program that doesn't work. Who got those contracts? Which senators' husbands, which senators' wives, which congresspeople's relatives got the $1 billion to set up this Frankenstein that isn't working? Oh, you'll never find that out. Just think of the movie Z by Costa Gavras, and you'll find out what country we're living in. That takes you back a long way. Costa Gavras, the movie Z. How do we go from jazz to rap in one generation? Give Obamacare a chance. Don't be a knee-jerk conservative. It's all right here. And the latest news headlines on the Savage Nation, which has the most accurate stethoscope in talk radio history. A stethoscope on the heart of America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Super Savage Show. I loved this as a kid. I still do. What kind of mind could create something like this in this dead world? You ever think about music, what it really is? You know, if you spent a lot of time on a obscure, isolated desert islands as I have, and you look at the blackness of the universe and the fathomless sky, and then you think about mankind on this rotating sphere running around the solar system, you say, my God, it's empty out there. And then there are people who come along, they can create music, they can sing, they can paint, they can make puppets, they can dance. And they make our life worth living. I mean, what else can I say? Without art, what are we? I would say, well, we're just animals. I love animals, you know. But they don't do those things to the extent we do, obviously. You say, oh, well, they do. Yeah, well, yeah, right, sure. So here we are. Think about music. And now we have a government that's intent on taking the music away, basically, turning the lights out. You know, this is akin to what went on in every other country that had a socialist dictatorship take over. It wasn't overnight, mind you, but the music died. I'll give you an example. Cuba. Cuba under the dictator Batista was a horrible place, and they were promised that with Castro there'd be fairness, there'd be equality. And the people liked it because they were poor and they were impoverished and they were oppressed. But they had some of the greatest music on the planet. And then when Castro came to power, the music died. It died. The soul of the country died. The spirit of the country died under communism. And what you're seeing in America today, where people are afraid to talk, they're afraid to speak their mind, don't you check yourself at work? When you see something, you know what's going on. Another diversity session by these monsters lying to you about your ancestry, lying to you about their ancestry, lying to you about your nation, lying to you about other nations, you know what's going on, and you can't say anything. You're afraid to say something. That's an example of the light dying in America under Obama. It didn't start with him, but it sure is escalating under him, didn't it? The spying, it didn't start with him, but it sure has escalated under him, hasn't it? The NDAA. The NDAA, which was passed on New Year's Eve while you were partying and blowing your horns. I wrote about it in Trickle Down Tyranny. Some know about it. It gives your government the power to take anyone off the street at any time for any reason under the guise of national security. And now 35 national leaders found out they were spied upon by the NSA. They can't believe it. They're shocked, mind you, just shocked that the man who promised hope and change has, well, let us say, just spied on them. And it's all because of Snowden. Old Snowden, who had to flee America, who now says that no telephone in America makes a call without leaving a record with the NSA. Snowden's revelations. Do you remember what was said about Snowden? Do you remember the politicians who called for his death? Do you remember who said he should be killed? What were they hiding? Why did they want old Snowden dead? They wanted him dead. They said he was a traitor. I can name some of the politicians who called for Snowden's death. But now we know why he shouldn't have been killed. Now we have to thank Putin for taking him into Russia. Headline of the Guardian, U.S. spied on 35 world leaders. Now Snowden is urging Americans to protest. Can you believe what's going on in this country? Let me tell you something about spy agencies. They get bigger, not smaller. And everything that the left called for, Obama did so far, not all of it. And now they're the ones screaming the loudest. Did you hear that none other than Oliver Stoner and the other fabulous leftists of the Hollywood idiot brigades are warning against NSA surveillance? Did you know that they even went ahead and ran ads? Oliver Stoner, one of the most diehard Obamaites the world has ever seen, and John Cusack, one of the most diehard leftist fanatics the world has ever seen, has now put out a PSA ad warning against spying by Obama's NSA. You got to hear this. Listen to clip number 8 on the Savage Nation.
Revelations that have emerged in the past few months from whistleblower Edward Snowden and others
have painted a disturbing picture of widespread suspicionless surveillance of American citizens.
NSA snooping includes the interception and collection of call detail records and internet traffic,
including audio, video, photographs, documents, chat logs, and emails.
Every American is at risk for getting caught up in the NSA dragnet,
including average citizens not suspected of a crime.
We've been misled.
We've seen this story before.
We've had too much secrecy in this country. It has corrupted the government.
And we decided it was wrong.
It was wrong then, and it's wrong now.
This is a fearful situation. The American people, one of the basic rights is the right to privacy.
Unrestrained, illegal, secret, intimidating harassment of the essential ability of Americans to participate freely in American political life will never happen again.
Nixon's crimes predate.
Oh, now it's Nixon!
Use by decades.
The tools for surveillance have never been more powerful, and the threat to our civil liberties has
I told you Nixon great. Did it.
Edward Snowden was not the first. I represent 6 NSA whistleblowers who are being charged with espionage for telling the truth.
We truly, as a nation, are at a crossroads.
I came aware.
Well, you put us here, you
sweeping up
SOBs, you
data.
You put us here, you Hollywood morons, you.
The Constitution, and that was when they.
Oh, now you love the Constitution.
And
now
so
you love it.
I became a whistleblower.
History tells us we need to watch the watch.
Yes, Oliver, sure.
Surveillance state.
Yes, Oliver, take your Prozac.
It makes a mockery of our system of government, which is based on the notion of...
You've made a mockery of our government from the day you started making movies.
The press.
A free society should not have...
Free society.
It doesn't have to present this false trade-off between...
Free society.
We need to bring NSA activity from the shadows into the light of day.
Yeah, right.
We need to end mass suspicionless surveillance.
Yeah.
So there's Oliver Stone, John Cusack, Maggie Gyllenhaal, whoever she is, and other leftist fanatics stepping into the debate over the NSA surveillance programs, putting out a PSA that calls for an end to the monitoring. It's just hilarious. You talk about irony. I'm going to quote something now. Notice to the American people, while you celebrated on New Year's Eve, Obama stole your civil rights. The back cover of Trickle-Down Tyranny, I'm not ashamed to read it. I'll read it to you. The back cover of a book. I guess Oliver Stone dismissed the book. I guess he wanted to throw it into a bonfire of the unvanities. I guess John Cusack dismissed Michael Savage as some right-winger. Well, here's what I wrote a few years ago, boys. Under the disguise of fighting terrorism, Obama signed into law the National Defense Authorization Act, giving the federal military the authority to arrest any American citizen. With this unprecedented seizure of power, the most divisive and dangerous president in U.S. history eliminated both the Posse Comitatus Act and the writ of habeas corpus. Even the ACLU was shocked, as was his own Justice Department. We now live in an Argentina of the 1970s, where the military has almost supreme power over our lives and freedoms. Obama said, though, don't worry, I won't use this power. Should you believe him, I asked. I said, no, the NDAA is the most anti-freedom act ever signed into American law, and the complicit media let it go almost unnoticed, and I wrote, welcome to the newly created Union of Socialist States of America. Back cover of Trickle-Down Tyranny. I try to warn America. The liberals, socialists like Stone and Cusack, dismissed me as non-existent. As in the ex-Soviet Union, I didn't exist because I wasn't in their universe. And now all of a sudden that the spying has come to bite them in the you-know-what. Suddenly they're putting out PSAs saying they want it stopped. It ain't going to stop. It's not going to stop, Johnny boy. Oliver, it's not going to stop. It's going to get worse. And you started it. Not Nixon. You started it, Stone, with your anti-American movies. You started it, Cusack, in my opinion, with your anti-American screeds. All of you Hollywood idiots who elected Obama, you're the ones who created this Frankenstein, not me. Oh, God, I need music. I need jazz music. I want to hear bum 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 ba 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 da 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 da. Anyone know what that one is? Would that be Art Blakey? Moaning full? Boom, 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 boom. It's still legal to play this on radio. One of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse haven't said that it's anti-American to play jazz music from the 50s. It is. Should we give Obamacare a chance? Should the Signals Intelligence Directorate of the NSA be closed down? Thank you very much for listening to The Savage Nation. 855-407-2822. It is The Savage Nation. It's going to be great when I'm on the day part. I don't have to compete with Blondie. I think they're all turning it off now at 7. When Wallbanger was on in this hour, I had no competition. I crushed him. She's better looking than me, I got to admit it. Better legs, better hair, better nails, better lipstick. So it's okay. I don't care. I mean, I'm not stuck in this slot forever. I know where I'm going. I'm going to a far, far better place than I've ever been. I never forget when I was a kid, my uncle, I had an uncle who fought in World War II. He was an airplane mechanic in Britain. Great stories from him. And he was a great guy. He came back and I was growing up. So he used to quote books to me. He quoted Dickens. And I remember he quoted the cart going to the guillotine. And the speech by, who was in the cart? Who can name who was in the cart? Anyone left who read Dickens? Nah, don't call. I'm not in the mood. 'Tis a far, far better place that I go than I have ever been. That was a great speech written by some old white male named Charles Dickens. It's irrelevant. Literature, of course. Because it doesn't appeal to those who can't read. See, the reason it's irrelevant literature is it doesn't appeal to those with a vocabulary of 50 words or less who listen to rap music. That's the whole point. That's why it's irrelevant. It's not that it was bad for its time. It's just the people wasted their time with language in those days. I mean, they knew, 200,000 words? What did you need all those extra words for? Look at the intelligent people walking around with devices in their hands now. They don't know more than 40 or 50 words of English. Come to club at 2. Meet at deli at 1. Show me naked pics at 3. What more do you need to know? I mean, you don't need more than 50 words of English. With rap music and an iPhone, you don't need to know more than 50 words of English. That's why, as I say, we've gone from Oliver Twist to Oliver Stone in one generation. That's not bad. Okay, let's take some calls. Tom in Florida, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, you keep me up late here in Florida, so I'm looking forward to your new time slot. I love the
Thank
show.
Thank God. So am I.
Yeah, Michael, I don't want to get into an argument with you, so I like you very much, but I worked in that field, and when we took a security clearance, we had certain regulations and rules on disclosure.
No, well, I understand what you're saying, but thank God he was willing to violate the rules, and he wasn't saying, I'm just following orders, because we know what happened in a wonderful advanced nation, the most advanced nation in the world, where all of the good men in the government took oaths to Adolf Hitler and said we were only following our orders. None of them stepped out of line. If they did, they were afraid they were violating orders. So I'm glad Snowden dared step out of line and violate his oath, frankly.
Yeah, I understand your rationale, but...
Listen to what I'm saying to you. Let's look at it this way. Let's look at it two ways. We don't have to disagree. We don't have to hate each other to disagree. Let's start with that, Tom. Yes, he violated his oath of office. Yes. Has the world been harmed by Snowden, or would you say the world has been helped by Snowden?
Well, my personal feeling is anytime classified information is divulged, it could create a problem for our national security. But, Michael...
Let's take that on its face. So let's see. By divulging this information, our national security may have been harmed. So let's see. The Boston Marathon bombers, how come they were able to get away with it? With all of this spying power. Why is it that our geniuses inside these agencies let these terrorists build a case for themselves and set off bombs at the Boston Marathon bombing? How come they were able to do that? How come the Tsarnaev brothers were able to do that? In other words, they had all the spying power in the world, and they still were not able to stop the terrorists. The only people who have been harmed by the spying agencies are innocent people like you and I.
Yeah, I see your point. But, Mike, when you get to communications, there's all types of encryption, frequency hopping, spread spectrum, direct sequence. You can protect your communication, so it's almost impossible to be intercepted.
But why are they listening in on 35 world leaders? Why would they do that?
Well, I think the French actually listened in to some of our business companies to get an advantage in the aircraft industry. That's been documented.
All right, and that happens to be true, and I happen to agree with you. By the way, this issue of I'm shocked that the U.S. was listening in on us is almost nonsensical because all leaders listen in on other leaders. But Merkel's acting shocked, isn't she?
Yeah.
Do you think that the German intelligence agencies are spying on Obama's conversations?
If they can get into it, if it's encrypted or it's using a sophisticated modulation scheme.
I mean, what if Obama wants to send out an order some food? Do you think that they're listening in on that? Because they're liable to divulge that he's ordering cool cigarettes or something?
I'm in Florida now, but I used to work in the Washington, D.C. area, and I can tell you the story about the Russian embassies built on Mount Atho. It's a big hill up there, and they did that purposely for line-of-sight intercept.
Hey, I don't mind governments spying on governments. I think that's very good. I do mind governments spying on me. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree. Michael, God bless you and continued great success, Mike. Okay.
Well, I hope so. God only knows what tomorrow will bring. What can I tell you? I'm terrified of this government. I am terrified of the growing, the vice I feel I'm in. I feel that this government's tightening a vice around every citizen in this country, and I don't think I'm alone. WMAL, Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call, and also thank you for sharing your wealth of knowledge, wisdom, and humanity, which I think sets you apart from all the other even comparable radio talk shows.
Well, I have a new sign on my computer screen. You know what it says? Do not mock other hosts. I realize that I don't need to do that anymore. I realize that Mozart didn't have to knock... Salieri, and there's no point anymore.
True.
So I'm not going to do this. I don't need to say one word about anyone else. God bless them. There's a long day part. Everyone has to make a living, and everyone has their own shtick, and they can do what they want. Hold on. I'll come right back to you on NSA spying on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's a mess. It's a mess. Obamacare is a Frankenstein, and I say give Obamacare a chance. Never forget what I said tonight. Stop blocking it. You're helping Obama if you slow it down. Don't you understand it? If you let Frankenstein walk the streets of America, all of the foolish young people who were snookered by Obama and his minions will say, wait a minute, I was tricked. I'm paying for the old people. I'm paying for the illegal aliens. I don't want to pay for that. And they might, they just might not vote Democrat again. If you block it, then you're helping Obama and the Democrats. Now listen to this. Here is the woman, Catherine Sebelius, one of the most dangerous people in the history of America, who is now saying she is not going to resign, and anyone who wants her to resign, although they may be taxpaying American citizens, are of no concern to her. Listen, this just came out tonight. Hear it.
Majority of people calling for me to resign, I would say, are people who I don't work for and who do not want this program to work in the first place. I have had frequent conversations with the president, and I've committed to him that my role is to get the program up and running, and we will do just that.
Yeah. Typical university woman, a monster. You look at her and you know what you're getting. And here's a woman who is saying the people who wanted to resign don't. She doesn't work for them. So she doesn't work for the American taxpayer. She works for the president. Well, that's called a dictatorship. Not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But a government of Obama, by Obama, and for Obama. Write that down, because although you heard it first tonight in the Savage Nation, it will not be the last time you heard it. We've gone from a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, to a government of Obama, by Obama, and for Obama. Have a nice night. Another big hour across America, except in your unlucky cities, where you only get 2 hours of me. But it's another hour yet. Another hour? Can you imagine this?
Seven. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Okay, welcome to hour number three of the Savage Nation, October 24th, 2013, almost the Halloween evening, yeah, hallowed for who? The witches, of course. Watch out for the witches, they have more power than you may imagine. They're all over the Democrat caucus, say some. Yes, it's their night, they'll be howling like mad. Meanwhile, the news is pretty hot. Go to michaelsavage.com, where borders, language, and culture prevail every night. You can see again that Obama is deballing and debasing the military as rapidly as he can. While you're focusing on Obamacare, because the knee-jerk conservatives have you wondering about Obamacare, which you have no control over, by the way, Obama is playing triple chess while you're playing checkers. That's right. The neo-libs and the neocons are conning you into thinking that Obamacare is the be-all and end-all of your nation. Well, it's a terrible program, and it will implode on its own if you just leave it alone. I say don't delay Obamacare. Let it implode. Let the Democrats own it. But, okay, if you want to go along with the fools who tell you to invest yourself in it, go ahead. That means you own it. Meanwhile, while you're doing that and you're focusing on Obama's crisis, he's playing triple chess. He's firing generals left and right. He fired 9 major combat generals. Now he's recommended a new girly hat for the Marines, a unisexual cap that looks French. He doesn't want it to look too male. I'm not making this up. This is what they're spending their time and money on. The picture of the girly cap for the Marines is on michaelsavage.com. Meanwhile, while you're doing that, Ted Cruz returns to Texas as a hero who is reshaping the state Republican Party. I'm not a big Ted Cruz fan. I believe that, frankly, Ted Cruz has ruined the Republican brand for the general public. And number two, I'll say it like I think it is, we've gone from the Tea Party to the Me Party under Ted Cruz. 49% of Americans get government benefits, 82 million in households on Medicaid. Do you believe this? $1 billion a day is being spent to prevent global warming as the Antarctic sea ice hits a record high. Shall I go on? Well, I think the sound itself on the Savage Nation will tell it all. President Obama's speech on immigration today, insanity. Insanity. The man has no capital left for any of his radical leftist plans, or does he? Well, he'll keep pushing it in order to appease the radical Hispanic lobbies. And take a guess who's attacking Obama's NSA for spying. None other than the liberals who cheered on Obama, like Oliver Stoner, and other Democrats. That's right. Oliver Stone, John Cusack, Maggie Gyllenhaal, and others in showbiz are stepping into the debate over the National Security Agency surveillance programs, actually putting out a PSA announcement which calls for an end to the spying. Good luck, Oliver. You brought it about. You kissed Obama's butt. Watch out for what you pray for, because you just got it. Frankly, we're living in a two-dimensional world right now. I have never seen anything like this. We know the Republican brand has been destroyed not only by their own recalcitrant and idiotic behavior, but by the constant attacks by others who have no alternative. And all they're doing is helping Obama. Then on the other side, we have the knee-jerk conservatives. I mean, we all heard the words knee-jerk liberal. My whole life, knee-jerk liberal, knee-jerk liberal. Well, we know what that is. Every answer for a knee-jerk liberal is that the oppressed don't have opportunities. If only there were opportunities, they wouldn't rape, rob, kill, become pirates. And then the other side, we got the knee-jerk conservatives. Every one of them has the same answer. And the answers are just so mundane, you can go out of your mind listening to them. And I say music eases pain for me. Listening to music can help alleviate mental pain, physical pain. And I found listening to, for example, Art Blakey took me back to the West Village circa 1966, where I had the first tastes of love, dreams of megalomania, novels that would be written, travels that would be traveled, brains to be unraveled, cars to be raced, snows on face to be tasted, forever thin, forever cool I would be. Yeah, right. Nevertheless, here I be, and I'm not complaining because I'm still here. Did you see the picture of the hats, the girly hats that Obama wants the Marines to wear? I couldn't resist. I had to put it up on my website. The MichaelSavage.com website has the picture of the hats. U.S. Marines decry Obama's new girly hats. The psychotics in your government who are broke have not only deballed the military by firing 9 major combat generals. Yeah, he's purging the military the way Stalin did. I've told you that. And let me tell you something else before I get into the girly caps for Marines that the feminists are pushing down there at their throats in order to debase the Marines, in order to deball the Marines, in order to humiliate the Marines, in order to turn the Marines into something French, something alien to America. Let me tell you what's going on. All of you geniuses who are so focused on Obamacare and how bad it is, you are doing Obama's bidding in so many different ways. You're playing checkers, my friend. He's playing triple chess. They understand that it's a disaster. But what you don't know is they may have wanted it to be a disaster. Why? Well, they wanted it to be a disaster for a couple of reasons. Then they have every moron in the country screaming about Obamacare while they're working on destroying the military, for example. While they're working on firing combat generals who may not, let us say, see the world their way. While they're cutting the military in every way they possibly can, cutting our nuclear armaments in every possible way that they can, you're focused on Obamacare. Yes, I understand. You're a brilliant man. You're just brilliant people. You're playing checkers, my friend. You're even playing backgammon while they're playing triple electronic chess. Never underestimate the people behind Barack Obama. Do so at your own risk. That's all I can say to you. So we have another ship attacked by pirates, now Nigerian pirates in Africa. And we have the White House and the State Department saying that they're closely monitoring the situation. So the girls came back from the bowling alley and from the hairdressing parlor, and they went to their computer screens, and they found out that there was another hijacking. Now, of course, they didn't issue any orders to the U.S. Navy or such to go out and kill the pirates, to come down, rappelling down and cut their throats and throw them into the shark-infested waters. They're closely monitoring the situation. The Americans were seized off the U.S.-flagged Sea Retriever, a 220-foot vessel owned by U.S. Marine Transport Group Edison TrueQuest Offshore, an oil supply vessel. And, now here's the FBI chiming in. I want you to listen to the new FBI. I'm quoting now. I'm not making this up. Oh, a former FBI agent says, if you take the Americans, you get a good price. Oh! Now, I wonder whether he's consulting for the pirates or for the ship. I don't really know. He says the initial demands will be high, and you can infer from that who you're dealing with. And he said, we can negotiate with this. It could be a negotiable end, said the former FBI agent, now working with a consultant firm which specializes in international piracy. It sounds like firemen have started fires in order to justify their job. Okay, so this is the world we're living in. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is. So I'm back. I know many of you missed me. That's okay. I missed you. I don't know whether you missed me or I missed you more than you missed me. But at this point, it's one big thing. You know, it's hard to say. And here we are. 49% of Americans get government benefits. I want you to listen to this. It's hard to say this without using the O word. So we'll leave out the word O. 49% of Americans get government benefits. 82 million people in households on Medicaid. $1 billion a day is being spent to prevent global warming, even though the Earth's temperature has remained virtually flat for the past 17 years. $1 billion spent a day to prevent global warming as very depressingly beautiful. It's not uplifting. It's not fast. It's not drive time, my time, night time, your time, his time. It's Coltrane time. No, I can't do it right now. That's already 3 a.m. music. That's overnight radio. I'm not yet there. I have reversed that. I'm the only one in the history of radio who's gone from a later slot to a much later slot, and then like the phoenix rising from the ashes, I come back in drive time, shocking everyone in the industry. They all thought they had me pigeonholed, cornered. Yeah, yeah, he's okay, but he's nobody. He's not a player. Yeah, he'll be on. And all of a sudden, I trump all of them. Now, how did that happen? Well, I don't know. You'll have to figure it out. 855-407-282 has come because it was when the Somalis were on the lifeboat that they hijacked off the ship with Captain Phillips. The SEALs were sitting there on an adjacent destroyer, and they had their night vision scopes. And when you see the SEALs arrive, you know, you're stirred. I mean, you start to get stirred inside. I remember being a kid in the movie theater again. I said, here come the cavalry. They're going to kill those evil pieces of garbage. Now, the only thing wrong with the movie is that they try to create sympathy for the Somalis. Yeah, they're poor, and if they don't go and hijack a ship, the warlord will hurt them. Well, that's too bad. That's too bad. We have drones that can see the trucks with the machine guns arriving in the village. Who do you think are in the trucks with the machine guns terrorizing the village? The terrorists. Take them out with drones, that's all, and leave the villagers alone. So we have a ship going over to Africa to bring food aid, and these animals hijacked the ship because at that time they weren't allowed to have weapons on the ship. It's an interesting movie. So when you see the SEALs come in and arrive, you start to get stirred. I mean, you felt like a kid in the movie theater again. And then they're lining them up in their sights with night vision. They're trying to line them up, and it has to be all four at once with a single shot to kill all four of them through four different, let us say, openings on that little lifeboat. And finally, when they get four greens and he says, go, and the guns go off and all four heads explode, I started to cheer. And I screamed out, kill them all! Kill them all! I screamed out in the theater. Oh, well, the polite people in the suburb where I lived didn't know what to make of it. They just sat there like the dummies and the drug addicts that they are. You know, they were ambivalent because there was a nuance about this movie. It was done, after all, by a British director who always is nuanced. They're very nuanced. We're supposed to have some sympathy for the poor Somali pirates. I had no sympathy for them. I had no sympathy whatsoever. I'm sick of it all. I want us to use our weapons. I want us to use them while we still can. You see, in this inverse war against terror, they have the desire to destroy us, and we have the weapons to destroy them, but we don't have the will to use our weapons to destroy them. Take a guess how this ends. Take a guess how this story ends. If you read history, you'll understand something that I'm about to tell you. What I'm about to tell you is historically accurate. How did the Arabs, who conquered two-thirds of the globe spreading Islam, do it? They didn't have large armies. It was an astounding piece of history. They did it with small armies that induced terror wherever they went. They raped, they burned, they killed. They burned villages to the ground. And in so doing, they subdued larger areas of concentrations of humans. And that story of the Arab conquest is one of the most amazing stories in the history of mankind. built on blood. Islam didn't spread through love. Islam was not spread through peace. Islam was not spread through the word. Islam was spread through the fire, the flame, and the sword, and through sheer terror. What we're living through now is a repeat of history. We're living through a repeat of history where small armies called small groups of terrorists are spreading their doctrine of hate through terror. Pirates are no different. They're part of that particular scenario. And they will win. If we continue to have girly men in power, if we continue to deball our military, if we continue to put them in girly hats, if we continue to fire all the generals who are combat generals, I am telling you that the amazing story of conquest of the great days of the Arabs, it started in around 634, where almost two-thirds of the world was conquered by the Muslims in 25 years. 25 years, not through a great standing army, but through small armies, where they battled people in Syria, Damascus, Palmyra, Antioch, Jerusalem, all falling to the Muslims, all being converted over to Islam. And then, of course, they turned to Asia, and they conquered them. Conquest of Persia followed. At that time, Persia was not Muslim, not at all. But after the terror induced by the Muslims, the Persians became Muslims. And then they went into western Turkestan, and then they went eastward until they met the Chinese. Egypt was not Muslim. Egypt fell with almost no resistance to the new Muslim conquerors, who were full of fanatical belief in the sufficiency of a single book, the Quran. And then they wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library. The Muslims burnt the library to the ground. And then the Muslims poured along the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and Spain. Spain was invaded in 710. The Pyrenees Mountains were reached in 720. In 732, the Arab-Muslim advance had reached the center of France, but then something happened. It was stopped for good at the Battle of Poitiers, and the Muslims were pushed back as far as the Pyrenees again. And I can pause right there, but the story is related to this movie, Captain Phillips. It's not in that story, but I know history. And I see these pirates as the small armies that conquered two-thirds of the world in only 25 years. And, you know, for all of George Bush's failings, and there are many in all presidencies, he's not to be singled out. For all of his failings, he had it right. He understood the existential threat to Western civilization, and he did something about it. So here we are, talking about movies and music and all sorts of things on the Savage Nation. How do we go from that music to rap in one generation? What happened to this country?
Savage.
We've been talking about the purging of our generals under Obama. There are nine of them now fired by Obama. It's a purge that's frightening. But now we found that the generals in charge of our nuclear weapons were dumped, and the secret transfer of weapons to South Carolina, and Lindsey Graham's weird warning of a nuclear attack on South Carolina if we did not act in Syria. What? What is this all about? Joining us now on the Savage Nation is Anthony Gucciardi, the founder of StoryLeak.com, which was one of the only places this story could be found. Anthony, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And you're doing a great job of exposing the things that the mainstream media will not dare to touch.
Would you remind my listeners what you think is really happening here with these generals being fired?
Well, first and foremost, we had super high-level military intelligence reveal to us, the confirmed source, that there was a nuclear warheads transfer from Texas and Dyess Air Force Base to South Carolina. And originally, I thought this was maybe not a big deal, but it was a confirmed source, so I kind of got concerned. And I decided to publish it online to just see what would maybe come from it. And then the following day after that, and that was concerning to me enough, but it wasn't a huge deal at the time because, you know, a nuclear transfer is big, but I didn't have anything to really prove it in the media. But then I found out a day later when CBS reported on it that Lindsey Graham had gone out on record in a speech and said just hours after we released that intel that if we don't attack Syria, specifically even Iran, that a nuclear strike could happen in South Carolina, which is where that source told me the nuke was headed directly, specifically stated South Carolina. So I was concerned, and I called Graham's office, and I said, you know, did you really say that? And his staffer said, yes, Graham actually said there could be a nuclear strike in South Carolina if we don't attack Syria, and also we're really freaked out about it, and we're looking for answers. And that was strange enough. That got, you know, several hundred thousands of readers to question what was going on. But then the real thing is weeks later, after all of this, really what blew it up is the second highest nuke commander in the United States was suspended over some bogus lottery ticket, you know, gambling stuff. And it turned out that through a leaked email reported on by the Daily Mail, that he had been suspended on September 3rd, the same exact day that I released that military intelligence. So specifically, it says an internal email obtained by the AP on Friday said the allegations against Kerry stem from an inspector general probe of his behavior while on an unspecified temporary duty assignment for the next guy who was fired, the top general. So both of these guys were fired around September 3rd, specifically the second commander, fired on the day of the nuclear intelligence leak, but then they were also fired for a specific temporary duty assignment that they failed to do. So all this coming together after we revealed, you know, that there was a nuclear intel showing that there was a nuke transfer, all of these red flags popping up. And Michael, I have to tell you, you were really the only one, the only major voice covering this and saying we want answers on this, because this is a massive deal. This is very concerning.
Have any of the stooges in the so-called mainstream media reported on this?
Well, you know, believe it or not, the source that came to me, he actually told me. He told me straight up, he said, Anthony, you know, I like you guys. I like everyone you're working with. I want to come to you. But first and foremost, I went to the local media near Dias, and they didn't want to hear about it. They did not want to hear about it. Even though this guy, and I can't reveal the source, super high-level military, was telling these individuals, hey, there's a nuke transfer going on. You need to report on this. Even the local media said no. And now the mainstream media won't cover this, but they'll cover, you know, kittens in a tree getting rescued by fire people instead when there's a nuclear incident that all the red flags are proving it over and over again. So it's like there's actually no media coverage, and they denied the original source. That's why, you know, programs like yours, what we're doing here, it's all this massive truth-telling operation, and the sources, more and more, by the way, are leaving the mainstream media. They're leaving the Associated Press. They're leaving all of these lame, dying media corporations and coming to us because they know we'll actually ask the right questions, tell the real truth, and we're not afraid of it. So they were the source was denied by the mainstream media. That's how far gone the whole media system is right now.
Is Obama purging the military of leaders, and why? Are there any updates?
Yes, absolutely. Well, what's most concerning to me is that the source was very vocal about this. He was telling me updates about it, and then he went dark. There's been no correspondence with him at all anymore. We've talked to relatives and everything. They cannot get in contact with him. That scares me deeply. I don't know if they threatened him. I don't know what happened to him. Okay, he's not speaking to us anymore. But now I hear that the major nuke facility near Dias has been shut down for the government shutdown. They're laying out off like 4,000 people anyway, and that is the latest update. But what concerns me the most is all of these generals, not just generals, all these nuke commanders being fired and suspended, all by these higher-ups that are behind all of the nuclear weapons in the whole United States. And then they're appointing this guy that's been with the Pentagon since 2009, and it looks as if he is the guy that's going to do whatever they say. My speculation, based on what the source is telling me and based on this information, is that these new commanders have been fired and suspended because they would not play ball. Whatever that means, I don't know. But they were not okay with an unsigned, off-the-record nuke transfer to South Carolina. And they were not okay with Lindsey Graham coming out and saying, hey, if we don't attack Syria, we could get nuked. They were not okay with this, so they got canned in a typical fashion. They were not going to play ball with these guys, so they needed to get rid of them. And unfortunately, it seems like my source, they might have found who it is, and they threatened him or something like that because he's not speaking out anymore. So there are red flags going on. As of right now, I'm sure more will come out, and that's why it's important to highlight this issue, because if we highlight it now to millions of people listening right now, if we highlight this issue now, in a week or so, when another top new commander's fired, or in 2 weeks or so, when something else, a major red flag happens, we can say, hey, we were covering this. This is what's going on. And then it all paints a bigger picture, puts the puzzle pieces together of this entire thing.
Look, we're not trying to start a conspiracy theory here, but what is the connection to Syria that the weird Lindsey Graham was implying?
No, I know, and that's the key thing here is that we're not conspiracy theorists at all. I mean, we're just putting out information. I've never actually said what, you know, is going to happen. I'm just saying, hey, here's the information. Here's what it looks like through serious analysis of the entire scenario. My thing is that it looks like there are definitely warring factions inside the military. There are good military generals, good military commanders. They don't want anything to do with these unsigned nukes. I do not even know what is going on. I do not know. I would love to hear what you think, Michael, what's really going on with your key analysis on this as a guy who's been following this and really revealing it to the whole world. But I think there are factions inside the military that are at war with other factions in the military. And this nuke could be used as a sort of a holding this country captive, holding it hostage to launch a war with Syria, to say, to come out and say, you know, maybe one faction comes out and says, yeah, you know, if we don't go to war with Syria or Iran or whatever, then this nuke could explode in South Carolina. It's a very twisted, strange system that, you know, it's, the analysis is not fully there, but something is going on. And that's why we're bringing all this to attention. We're not starting conspiracy theories. We're showing fact. We're showing reality from these high-level military guys and all of the mainstream media confirming this over and over and over and over again. That's what we're doing. And we can talk about analysis of, you know, looks like there could be factions holding this against us. Looks like, you know, they could say something like it was Syria if, in the event, a nuclear catastrophe did happen. I don't know. But I do know there are control freaks in the government, as you know, as you pointed out. There are crazy psychopathic control freaks in this government who will do anything to get what they want.
Anthony, where do you think it will go from here?
Well, I think the key thing here is that by just speaking about this, we might be holding them accountable. We might be stopping something. We might be able to actually get more answers if we keep pushing this as an issue, because what's happening now is the mainstream media trust. The mainstream is so dead now. The trust factors are so low, according to Gallup polls and numerous other polls, that by us forcing this into the media, they might be forced to cover it. They might be able to, you know, have to be forced to say, Michael Savage covered this on the show today, and it might turn into a major issue, and then we could get further answers. But as of right now, I think we're actually shielding this nation by just exposing this information, because I don't know what the plan was. But the plan might be defunct now that we've been covering it, because we've been hitting this issue so hard, they might not even be able to do what they wanted to do. And I think, really, on such a major scale like this, we are defeating them just by speaking about it and spreading the word.
Where can we read more of your work?
My website is storyleak.com, and I do a media analysis, I do political analysis, and overall, I try and forward the message and help, you know, expose what's going on and also spotlight great people like yourself, Michael, and your show, reaching millions, spreading the word, and I think ultimately we can get the word out to the point where we make a major difference with this.
Anthony Gucciardi, thanks again for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What a world. What a world, from the leathernecks to the featherheads in one generation. So if you look at the picture of the hats that the girls in the Obama administration want the boys in the Marines to wear, you'll get sick. U.S. Marines decry Obama's new girly hats. Unbelievable. Underneath that, I have another story I posted. There's one on top I can't even tell you about. It got me sick. Teen charged with killing math teacher saw a movie after her murder. Oh, you didn't see that picture? Didn't make it to your paper? Came out today that beautiful math teacher, who was found with her throat slashed by a box cutter, was killed by a teenager, age 14, in the woods behind his high school in Danvers, Massachusetts. And the kid who did it looks very much like the young man who was involved in the Zimmerman case. Isn't that interesting? And yet we hear nothing from all of the race baiters and race haters. Not one word. Not one word. You see, this wasn't about race. This was about lust. And of course, since they can't capitalize on lust right now, they can simply ignore it right now. Where is George Zimmerman when you need him? Where is George Zimmerman when we need him? What a sad story. A 24-year-old girl, An honor student becomes a math teacher to help minorities. She asks this kid to stay after school to help him with a test. He wants something from her she wasn't willing to give him. Takes her behind the school and cuts her throat with a box cutter. Oh, the pictures didn't make it to your local paper. That's so sad. That is so sad. Only in America. Only in America. Let's take some calls. WABC Joe on the movie Captain Phillips. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. I saw the movie myself, and when I found that the SEALs, when they came on, they just didn't take that shot. They practiced with milk jugs to time themselves with the waves before they took the shot. They didn't show that in the movie.
Well, the movie can only do so much, you know, but they did kill all four of the three of the terrorists at once, didn't they? They shot their heads, they blew their heads off.
Right. They practiced on the jugs first to get the timing.
And by the way, that was SEAL Team 6, the same SEAL team that was later sacrificed by someone in this administration by being put on a cargo helicopter called a Chinook and sent into a hostile environment in Afghanistan, and they were shot down and killed. 22 of them killed at once. And no one in this government has been called on the carpet for that. Are you aware of that?
Yes. I listen to your show regularly. You know,
well, that has agonized me for several years now. I dedicated the book, my novel, A Time for War, to that particular story. I try to wake people up. Apparently it didn't happen. Now we're hearing rumblings here and there about it. But there's been no hearing. We're focused on Obamacare instead of focusing on those who were taking down our military right from within this darn government. Now they're giving them girly hats. Thanks for the call. They're giving them girly hats. And what's going on elsewhere? Donna on WABC, you're a Savagette. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I'd like to tell you my opinion why jazz went directly to hip-hop.
Tell me.
And rap.
How?
I think it's because of disco.
Tell me how that works. I don't follow it.
Well, you know the band Blondie?
Yeah, I remember it. Yes, years ago.
Called Rapture. And in that song, she raps.
So you think that that changed the artists to rap artists from jazz artists?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why. I can't agree with you. Let me explain something. Rap music is very simple music. It's very easy to do. It's not hard to do, which is why so many untalented, uneducated, unskilled, undisciplined kids can do it. Jazz music, on the other hand, is extremely difficult to do. It requires tremendous knowledge of music, of notes, many years of study, and it's very difficult to perform. You can't just make it up as you go along. And so it's also got to do with a lack of discipline in our schools and a lack of discipline in the kids themselves. Thank you for the call. I've been waiting to say that. I figured we'd bring it there. 855-400-728. We got great callers on the music, but you know, there's some news stories out there that we shouldn't ignore. Obama's in very deep trouble because of the spying. He spied on 35 leaders around the world, and they're going, where you would think, really angry. The nations are turning to the United Nations now to stop Obama from his spying on national leaders. How does he get away with it? Well, guess what? He's not getting away with it. The Guardian's headline, U.S. spied on 35 world leaders. Snowden says no telephone in America makes a call without leaving a record with the NSA. Do you understand what we're living in? Do you know what the Stasi was in Eastern Europe before the fall of the wall? The Stasi was a secret police. We now have it under Obama, a secret police that's raging out of control. And he's getting away with it because the knee-jerk conservatives are not talking about this. They're talking instead about Obamacare. And the greatest thing you can do is to stop talking about Obamacare and let Obamacare live. Just let it be. Don't delay Obamacare. You're doing Obama a favor by helping him delay it. Why? Because we want Obamacare fully enforced before the midterm elections. Why? Because then the people who are going to pay these huge premiums, mainly the young, who were conned by Obama and the Democrats, will say, hey, wait a minute, we were misled. I'm not voting for those Democrats again. So if you delay Obamacare, you're actually giving the Democrats a hand up on the elections. Don't you understand that? I'm baffled by those of you who don't see this. And while you're doing that, he's getting away with the spying. 35 world leaders were spied on by the United States government. They're now turning to the United Nations for relief. Can you believe this? Do you understand how big this is, that we've become, in essence, a communist nation? Do you get it? Do you understand how big this is? Brazil and Germany today joined forces to press for the adoption of a UN general resolution that promotes the right of privacy on the Internet, marking the first major international effort to restrain the United States' National Security Agency from listening in on foreigners, according to diplomatic sources familiar with the push. This effort follows a German claim that the American spy agency may have tapped the private telephone of German Chancellor Angela Merkel and dozens of other world leaders. Well, this is what's going on. The world is finally waking up to the dictatorship that has emerged under the guise of hope and change. And it's only beginning, though. The Stasi is fully in place. And if I know anything about powerful spy agencies, they don't go away on their own accord. They don't go away because a group of penguins at the United Nations say go away. Oh, no, they're going to double down on their spying. That's number one. Number two, I said give Obamacare a chance, that the greatest gift you can give Obama is standing in the way of Obamacare. But I guess that's too complicated for those of you who play backgammon. But if you're playing the electronic chess that Mr. Axelrod's been playing for long enough that he understands how to get around the yokels, you'd understand that opposing Obamacare is only helping Obama, and that what you want to do is see Frankenstein stumbling around, because then come the midterm elections, which are only a few months away when you think about it, a year from now, all the young fools who voted for this cool guy named Obama will say, hey, wait a minute, I'm paying $500 a month for medical care I don't even want. I don't need it. I'm healthy. I'm paying for those old SOBs in big cars. Screw them. And they won't vote for the Democrats, but you don't see that. That's why I say give Obamacare a chance. And I've also said we've gone from knee-jerk liberals to knee-jerk conservatives in one generation, and how we've gone from the founding fathers to the foundling fathers in one generation, and how we've gone from the Tea Party to the Me Party in one generation, how we've gone from healthcare to... You get the picture. These are topics that are worth talking about. Guys, let's play Horace Silver's song for my father, the full version, because I want to just hear it again. Boom, 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 boom. You've all heard it. You've all heard it. You just don't know it. Now you know it. It's like Pagliacci. You've heard it, but you don't know it. Now you know it.
Savage.